lantar salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد اللهم اجعلني من جندك فإن جندك هم الغالبون واجعلني من حزبك فإن حزبك هم المفلحون واجعلني من أوليائك فإن أولياءك لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إني تارك فيكم الثقلين كتاب الله وعترتي أهل بيتي ما إن تمسكتم بهما لن تضلوا بعدي أبدا وَإِنَّهُمَا لَنْ يَفْتَرِقَا حَتَّى يَرِدَا عَلَيَّ الْحَظِ صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
I would like to congratulate the Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salatu wassalam on this occasion and specifically Hazrat Zahra salamu Allahi alayha As she is the Sahibatul Azha, how our Urafa and great scholars say that all the majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam are actually, as a matter of fact, conducted directly under the supervision of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayhi. And I would like to congratulate all our maraji and fuqaha for whom the Holy Prophet has said, Al-fuqaha'u husunul Islam. The fuqaha are the fortresses of Islam. Specifically, the Islamic leader, Samahatul Waliyul Faqih, Hafizahullah. And I would like to congratulate all the mu'mineen and mu'minat on this happy occasion, specifically all of you respectable brothers and sisters, and may Allah make this day Mubarak for all of the Islamic Ummah. Today was the day which coincides with the death of Umar ibn Sa'd, la'anatullah alayh. And today was the day where the history informs us that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, when he heard the news of the revenge of the enemies, the Ashqiya in Karbala, taken by Mukhtar, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam did his shukr towards Allah. So today is the day of happiness for Ahlul Bayt. And it's the sign of the followers that يَفْرَحُونَ لِفَرَحِنَا وَيَحْزَنُونَ لِحُزْنِنَا. How Imam Askari alayhi salam has said in his hadith. That our followers are the ones who feel happy on the occasions when we are happy, and they feel sorrowful over the occasions when we are sorrowful. So this is the sign of a mu'min. And also we find that since the beginning of the imamat time of Imam Sayyidu Shuhada Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam, the imamat of Imam Hussein spans to 10 years. And throughout these 10 years of his life, we are talking about the time before he announced his departure from the city of Medina. Before he announced his departure from the city of Medina, which was just few months before his shahadat. So all the 10 years of his early life, there was no qiyam and no uprising for the sake of haqq in the support of the walayat of Ahlul Bayt by any person during those 10 years, unfortunately. And our community had isolated our Imam, the Imam of that time, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, so much that no one even used to go to see the Imam, except extremely few people. They are so rare that in usual conversation we consider them nadir and not. Usually we don't even mention that small number. So usually as the usual conversation, we say nobody visited him. Because those people who visited were so less in number that it's a negligible number of people. So that was the situation of our community in the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that he was isolated totally. And even, we are talking about the followers, we're not talking about the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. The followers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam had isolated the Imam of their time. Nobody even cared about the Imam to an extent that the historians would mention about his following, to that extent. And Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi has narrated, there's no hadith narrated from Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the early 10 years of his imamat. We don't have any single hadith narrated from Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the first 10 years of his imamat time. Isn't that a matter of shame for the Shia community? But that's a fact. And unless Allama Tabatabai says, rahmatullah alayhi, the one who wrote the biggest, best tafsir, Tafsir al-Mizan, he says, unless Imam Hussein alayhi salam announced his departure from his hometown of Medina, and that was, like I said, just a few months before his shahadat. So, you know, in the end of the month of Rajab, you know, you can count Sha'ban, and, you know, and up till Muharram, the 10th of Muharram, just a few months of his life only. So in these few months, we have very, very few hadiths narrated from Imam Hussein alayhi salam in our history and our, you know, books of hadith, unfortunately. That was the conditions of our community. Let's face that conditions and let's realize why we are facing this dilemma. Why the Ahlul Bayt were forced to face this chaos and dilemma. And after the Shahadat of Imam Hussein, during the first 10 years of his Shahadat, there were more than 10, at least, there were more than 10 major uprisings taking place in the Islamic Ummah, in different corners of the Islamic Ummah. That was the effect of his Qiyam. That was one of the effects of his Qiyam. And that's, I recall this hadith which I would mention at the end of my speech, where Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam has said that مَا مِنْ عِيدٍ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ أَضْحَى وَلَا فِطْرٍ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُجَدِّدُ لِآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهِ حُزْدًا قُلْتُ وَلِمَا ذَلِكَ قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ لِأَنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَ حَقَّهُمْ فِي يَدِ غَيْرِهِمْ. And I will explain this hadith at the end of my speech. So we find that the hadith of the Holy Prophet, which I would like to elaborate and shed a little bit of light on that hadith tonight, so that we can benefit and we can realize our responsibility towards the Ahlul Bayt, so that the message of Karbala is remembered, and our responsibility towards this message and towards the Qiyam should be reinstated and recalled, so that we perform our responsibility and not cause to do the similar behavior like the followers of those days, for followers of Ahlul Bayt in those days did towards the Imam of their time, which ended up in all this calamity and all this sorrow and huzn for Ahlul Bayt that is unparalleled. We don't find any such example of these mazalim and these crimes done towards anybody else like those were done towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam on Karbala. So the Holy Prophet has said in this mutawatir and famous hadith narrated by the Sunni brothers and the Shias equally, where Prophet says that inni tarakun fikum al-thaqalain, and this hadith is also narrated in the khutbah of Ghadir of the Holy Prophet, which Allama Amini has narrated from more than 120 ashab and companions of the Holy Prophet. It's a really big deal to find Allama Amini rahmatullah alayh narrating this hadith from more than 120 companions while sitting in this age of the time. So those of you who have a little bit knowledge of ilmul rijal and ilmul hadith and and ilmul tarajim, they will understand the value of the work done by Allama Amini, who has written the biggest book on the subject of Ghadir in 10 volumes, which the book name of the book is Kitab al-Ghadir. That's the biggest book on that subject written and the best research work done in the history of our religion by Allama Amini. He spent his life traveling all over in the Islamic world. He spent 6 months in Lucknow in the famous library of Nasiriyah. And he stayed inside the library while he was writing this book and for 6 months. And when he returned back to Qum and somebody asked him how was the climate in the city of Lucknow, he said, I don't know. Because he never visited outside in the city of Lucknow. He stayed and slept inside the library for 6 months for doing all those great research works. And that's how he ended up in writing the biggest book about the subject of Ghadir. So these scholars have a lot of haqq on our neck. So the Holy Prophet has said that I'm leaving behind you two weighty things, Saqalain and Thiqlain. It can be recited, scholar, in the academics perspective, it can be recited in two ways, As-Saqalain and As-Thiqlain. If you read the hadith As-Thiqlain, it means two weighty things. If you read it as saqalain, it means two valuable things. Both ways the hadith can be recited. Both ways it's true. Because Quran and Ahlul Bayt have wazn, they have weight, plus they are valuable. So, I'm leaving behind you two valuable things, Quran and my itrat, my Ahlul Bayt. And then the Prophet said, وَإِنَّهُمَا لَنْ يَفْتَرِقَا, and these two are not going to be separated from each other, حَتَّى يَرِدَ عَلَيَّ الْحَوْضِ, until they meet me at the fountain of Kawthar, the hall of Kawthar. So our scholars say that since the Risalat and messengership of the Holy Prophet is the final message, and there will be no Prophet after him, so the survival of the Risalat of the Holy Prophet depends on the survival of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. And as long as Quran and Ahlul Bayt are surviving in the Islamic community, the Risalat and message of the Holy Prophet will continue to survive with the same force. And there is no need for Allah to send any other Prophet because the message is continuing with the same force. Second of all, our scholars say that this is another Khabar-e Ghaybi, another prophecy of the Holy Prophet from the knowledge of the unseen, from the Ilmul Ghayb that he enjoys, when he says that إِنَّهُمَا لَنْ يَفْتَرِقَا, these two are not going to get separated from each other. This is a prophecy of the Holy Prophet that these two will always remain together. So there is no way for anybody to even think that Quran and Ahlul Bayt can ever be separated. So, as long as Quran is there, there has to be a masoom imam remaining who is the defender and who is the best practicer of the Holy Quran in its totality. So this hadith itself is one of the best dalil and evidence about the existence of a masoom imam till the Day of Judgment. There's no one.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
And if there wasn't a masoom imam remaining, the Holy Quran could never have been protected. Also, it has to be remembered that when Prophet is saying that these two can never be separated, it's very, very obvious that anyone who tries to take one among those two is actually leaving both, whether he accepts or not. Because if somebody comes up and says, well, Quran is enough and sufficient for us, like it was said at the time of the final days of the Holy Prophet, Hasbuna Kitabullah, those kind of people who believe in this theory of Hasbuna Kitabullah must understand that their theory is contradictory to the hadith of Thaqalain of Rasulullah, where the Prophet has already said, إِنَّهُمَا لَنْ يَفْتَرِقَا, these two can never get separated. So if anybody or any group of people tries to take one of these two, they must understand they are actually leaving both of them, because Prophet has already said these two can never be separated. So once you are leaving the Ahlul Bayt, you are leaving the Quran as well, because Quran can never get separated from Ahlul Bayt. So those of the people who think we are taking Quran, they are actually not taking Quran, because Quran can never be separated from Ahlul Bayt. So taking one means actually when you take one and you are leaving the other, you are actually leaving both. So anybody who takes the Quran only and leaves the Ahlul Bayt is actually leaving the Quran also. And anybody who's taking Ahlul Bayt without the Quran is leaving the Ahlul Bayt also. Because those two can never be separated from each other. That's the Khabar-e Ghaybi of Rasulullah. And until they meet me at the fountain of Kawthar. And also we understand in the light of this hadith that both of these are hujjatun mustaqillah. How our fuqaha say that these are two evidences on their own. You know, they are evidences for the risalat and for the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the istiqlal. And when the Holy Prophet says in his hadith, itrati ahla bayti, this is another very, very important word, that it's a terminology that the Holy Prophet has used in his hadith, and it has been used in various ahadith and some of the verses of Holy Quran as well. So when Prophet says itrati ahla bayti, and in some of the texts of Islam we find ahl al bayt, or ahla bayt al nubuwa, or these kinds of terms, this has to be understood also in depth. What's the meaning of ahl al bayt? The word ahl in Arabic means uns ma'at ta'alluq. If you have uns and you are familiar with something, plus you have a relationship with that thing. Your uns, your familiarity, plus your relationship. If you are familiar with something, you have uns, and you have a relationship with that thing, in Arabic it is said that you are ahl towards that thing. That's the reason why we say, use the word, ahlul jannah. Those people who are ma'nus with the paradise. They have uns, they are familiar with the paradise, plus they have a relationship. Ahlul nar, those people who are familiar with the hellfire and they have a relationship with that. Ahlul qibla, these are the words that we frequently used in our conversations. Those people who are familiar with the qibla and have a relationship with that. Likewise, ahlul taqwa, ahlul ma'rifa, and so on and so forth. Abundant words are used have this word ahl in it. Ahlul kitab, very commonly used word. Those people who have uns with the book, those who are familiar with the book, plus they have a relationship. So similarly, when we lose this uns and ta'alluq, when we lose this familiarity and relationship, the word ahl is also taken away from us, and we no longer deserve to be called ahl of that thing, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used for the son of Prophet Nuh, innahu laysa min ahlik, because he no longer has familiarity with the message of Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And maybe that's one of the reasons. So we find that ahl means having uns with something along with the relationship. And then we come to the segment of the word ahl bayt, ahl al bayt, ahl bayti, different words used in different narrations. So ahl al bayt, bayt in Arabic means ma'wal insan bil layl. And the definition of bayt in Arabic means the place where a person seeks refuge in the night. That's in Arabic, quote unquote, we call his bayt. So Prophet says ahl bayti. So, and also whenever the word ahl al bayt is used, it is the short form of the word ahl bayt in nubuwah, which is hidden in, according to Arabic grammar and its delicacies. The word nubuwah is always there, but it is hidden. So whenever the word is said ahlul bayt, it always means ahlul bayt in nubuwah. That means that house, those people who are familiar with the house of nubuwah of the Holy Prophet. Plus they have a relationship with that. Now, coming to the misdaq of ahlul bayt, we have various statements among different Muslim sects about who are part of ahlul bayt. So when the verse of the Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. When this verse has been revealed on the Holy Prophet, the Holy Prophet himself did the tafsir of this verse of Holy Quran, which is narrated in Sahih Bukhari, published by the Darussalam publishers of the Wahhabi regime, also has the same hadith and narration that Prophet had done the tafsir of the word Ahlul Bayt, this terminology, and he himself defined the Ahlul Bayt, that means those five personalities whom we call Panchtan, you know, Al-Khamsa Al-Tayyiba, that means Panchtan. You know, it includes the Holy Prophet and Hazrat Fatima and Imam Ali and Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And abundant ahadith from our books also where Prophet has done that tafsir. But some other sects of Islam say that the wives of the Holy Prophet are also part of the Ahlul Bayt. And some have even stepped forward further, and they have included even the Ashab and companions of the Holy Prophet to be part of Ahlul Bayt. This will be obvious when we get to know the meaning of the word completely and realize its components. We will be easily able to understand who can be the misdaq and who can be included and who is already excluded from this terminology. So in our side, in our Shia belief system, we believe it's not just specific to the five panchtan, but it also includes the rest of the 11 imams. That means this verse includes all the 14 infallibles. Please say salawat. The reason why we believe that this verse includes the 14 infallibles also, the rest of the 11 imams, equally like it includes the panchatan, the five personalities, is also, it will be understood as we realize the meaning of this terminology in its complete form. So, like I said, the complete form is Ahlul Bayt al-Nubuwwah. That means the household, those people who are familiar and have a relationship with the house that belongs to the Nubuwwat and prophethood of the Holy Prophet. So if you understand what is the house, what is that house that we are talking about? The house which is related to the prophethood of the Holy Prophet. What is that house? If you understand that house, then it will be really easy for everybody to understand who is the Ahl of that house. The reason why we have all this controversy going on in the Islamic community is because some of the Muslim sects fail to understand the meaning of the Bayt and house of Nubuwwat. If that was understood, we would not have any controversy. The Holy Prophet has a house in which he used to live, you know, his place in Medina where he used to live. And that house which was made of mud and clay. Is that the house which is meant in the verse of Holy Quran or in any hadith of the Holy Prophet when the Holy Prophet says, you know, that إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمُ الثَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابَ اللَّهُ وَإِتْرِتِي أَهْلَ بَيْتِي The Bayti, the Ahl of my house, Ahl Bayti. Does the Prophet mean by the word Bayt that house which is made of mud and clay in which he was residing and living in the city of Medina? If that house was meant by the Holy Prophet, then those people are right who believe that Azwaj are also part of it. And not just Azwaj, even Ashab can also be part of that house, because we find the history that sometimes even Abu Sufyan, at least once it's narrated in the history, that even Abu Sufyan visited that house. So anybody who comes to the house is considered to be Ahl of that house. If that house which is made of mud and clay is the one that we mean, then yes, it is possible for anybody, to include even Abu Sufyan, to be part of Ahlul Bayt. But certainly, that's not what is meant by the word Bayt when we say Ahlul Bayti, when the Prophet says Ahlul Bayt. Prophet is talking about the house which has munasibat with the nubuwwat of the Holy Prophet. So the house which is related to the maqam-e-nubuwwat of Holy Prophet is the house which is related towards the ruhaniyat and the ma'naviyat and the risalat and the nubuwat and the imamat and the walayat of the Holy Prophet, not the house which is made of mud and clay. So anybody who has a relationship to the maqam of nubuwat of the Holy Prophet, anybody who has a relationship with the maqam of risalat of the Holy Prophet, anybody who is familiar with the maqam of imamat and walayat of the Holy Prophet, is the one who is part of the bayt and the house of the Holy Prophet. So that's why my teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah, was saying in the tafsir of regarding the tafsir of this verse and the tafsir of this hadith of the Holy Prophet, hadith of Saqalain, he mentioned that whenever in the Holy Quran you find the word bayt is mentioned in a singular form, then we are talking about the same bayt which is related to the bayt of the maqam of the Holy Prophet. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the bayt, the house which is made of mud and clay, he's meaning that kind of house of the Holy Prophet where he's physically residing, then Allah is using the plural form in the Holy Quran. Now let's turn to the Holy Quran. Surah Ahzab, verse number 53. Look at the plural tense used in the Holy Quran. You know, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتَ النَّبِيِّ إِلَّا أَنْ يُؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ. O you who believe, don't enter into the houses of the Prophet unless you have been permitted. Here the word buyut, houses, has been used. Different wives have different houses. And Prophet used to go to different wives' houses. So now the Quran talks about in plural tense. And second of all, in Surah Ahzab, verse number 33, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again uses the plural form of the word bayt. وَقَرْنَا, talking to the azwaj and wives of the Holy Prophet, وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. Stay in your houses. وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. Again, the point to be noted that again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the plural form of the word bayt, which is buyut. So this is, Allah is talking about the houses which are made of mud and clay, those houses and ghurfa of the Holy Prophet where he used to live with his wives. Third evidence from the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ahzab, verse 34, where Allah says, وَذْكُرْنَا مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّا. So again, مَا يُتْلَى, what is recited, فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّا, in your houses. So here again Allah is talking in the plural tense of the word buyut. So which is again referring to the same houses which are made of mud and clay. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes and talks, Allah talks about the house which is related to the maqam of nubuwat of the Holy Prophet. It's nothing to do with the house of mud and clay. The house which is related to maqam of risalat and maqam of the imamat and walayat of the Holy Prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always uses the word in a singular form, exactly how it is used in the ayatul tathir, where Allah says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ رِجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Here we don't find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ رِجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبُيُوتِ. Is the plural tense is not used. So the house which is mentioned in this verse, again, is the house which is related to the maqam of nubuwat of the Holy Prophet. And the construction material, masalah sakhtawani, wo sare wo jo cheeze hain jo ke us makan ki tamir mein kaam aati hain, ईंट है, पत्थर है, मिट्टी है, गारा है, सारी की सारी चीजें जो है कंस्ट्रक्शन मटेरियल. यू नो आवर स्कॉलर्स से दैट द कंस्ट्रक्शन मटेरियल ऑफ द हाउस दैट बिलोंग्स टू द मकाम ऑफ नबुवत ऑफ द होली प्रॉफिट इज द फजाइल एंड मनाकिब एंड मानवियात एंड कमालात and the sifat of jalal and jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those, the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, are the most perfect mazhar and reflection of all those sifat and all those asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These ma'naviyat are the construction material for the house that belongs to the maqam and nubuwwat of the Holy Prophet. So if you can find somebody who shares these values and these ma'naviyat and these fada'il, like the Ahlul Bayt have, then they would be eligible to be part of Ahlul Bayt. And if anybody doesn't share those value system that the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt enjoy, then he has nothing to do with the house that belongs to the Maqam al-Nubuwwat. He may have some relationship to the house that is constructed of mud and clay, but that's not the house which the Prophet is talking about in the Hadith al-Saqalain. But again, in the Hadith al-Saqalain, Prophet is not using the plural tense. إِنِّي تَارِكُمْ فِيكُمْ الزَّكَلَانِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَإِتْرَتِي أَهْلَ بُيُوتِي. Prophet did not say that. Again, in Hadith al-Zakalan, Prophet has mentioned the singular tense, which is in sync with the verse of Holy Quran. So, now if we find that Salman Farsi has those values which the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt have promoted, then he is entitled to become part of the Ahlul Bayt when Prophet says, Salman minna Ahlul Bayt. And if somebody is not part of that ma'naviyat, like the Prophet was talking to Salman Farsi, and one of the ashab walked in the same gathering, and he demanded, and Prophet became quiet. All of a sudden, Prophet became sakit and silent. And that companion asked the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, let us know what you were talking to Salman. And Prophet said that, you know, honey is harmful for the breastfed babies. And Prophet didn't say a word to that companion. Because those people don't share the value system which Salman Farsi shares with the Ahlul Bayt. So we find Salman is a different person. That when in Mada'in, where he used to live in his final days of life, a flood came and somebody came and informed Salman that there's a flood coming, there's a storm coming. Salman Farsi grabbed his Quran, his Mus'haf, and his stick, and he got his na'lain, his slippers, and grabbed a bag, just one small bag which has some of his items, and started to walk out. And when he was walking out, that he was so light. You know, you have to be light when you want to travel. We are all traveling 24/7 towards Allah. If we realize, we will always be light. So Salman was so light, so he started to walk out. And when he was walking out, he said that statement, that hakadha yanju al-mukhiffoon. That's the way the light-weighted people will succeed. So this is because of the value system that Salman has learned. And those people who were left behind in the same city, and they were about to carry all their commodities and their stuff which they have gathered inside their houses, they got affected with the storm. So these people share the same values. That's why we find that when Salman Farsi passes away, Imam Ali alayhi salam comes miraculously to lead the janazah of Salman Farsi, all the way from far, far away. And Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar, salamullahi alayh, came from paradise. And Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam came. And 70 million angels standing, Muhaddis Qummi has narrated, standing behind Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar. And 70 million angels standing behind Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam. And both of these great personalities are praying behind Imam Ali alayhi salam. 140 million angels of Allah, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says. And one prophet, you know, Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam, and one great shaheed, Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar, and both and all of them praying behind Imam Ali alayhi salam. And Imam Ali is leading the janazah of Salman Farsi. And it has been narrated also that when Imam Ali came at the janazah of Salman, Salman actually smiled while he was dead, smiled at the face of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So we are talking about the personality who is part of the Ahlul Bayt. Why? Because he has a relationship, a uns and a ta'alluq with the ma'naviyat and the values of the maqam-i nubuwwat and imamat and walayat of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. And also when we say, like in those of the statements, when we say, Assalamu alaikum ya Ahl Bayt al-Nubuwwah, since we are discussing about the term Ahlul Bayt tonight, let's understand it to its complete form. The word ya is used when you are calling somebody in Arabic. You can call somebody who is near you, or somebody who is at the middle distance, or somebody who is at the far away distance. And our scholars say, if we take this word as a sign that we are using it for calling them being at the far away distance, then the word Ya is giving us the meaning when we say Ya Ahla Bayt Nubuwa, like we say in Ziyarat Jami'a, which is such a beautiful ziyarat that can be recited on any of the graves of Ahlul Bayt. One of the most beautiful ziyarat is Ziyarat Jami'a. So we say Assalamu Alaikum. In the beginning words of the ziyarat, you find Assalamu Alaikum Ya Ahl Bayt al-Nubuwa. And my teacher was saying that when this word is being mentioned, this technical term is being mentioned in the beginning of the ziyarat, it is actually an evidence and dalil for everything else which is coming later on in the ziyarat. Because once you accept and you believe that we are addressing those personalities who have uns and ta'alluq and relationship and are familiar with the maqam and ma'navi and metaphysical level of the prophethood and the messengership and the imamat and leadership and the walayat and supremacy of Allah, you are addressing those personalities because of the fact that they enjoy the being madhar and becoming madhar and reflection of all the asma and names and all the sifat and attributes of Allah, and they have all the values of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to their fullest found in their soul. This itself is an evidence to prove everything what comes after this. And when we say the word ya, Ya Ahla Bayt al-Nubuwa, we are actually trying to say, one of the meanings that our scholars have mentioned is that we are trying to say that although we may be standing very close to one of the Ahlul Bayt, like for instance you go to the haram of one of the Imams and there you address them with Ya Ahla Bayt al-Nubuwa, for example, still you use the same word, so which is frequently used for those who are standing way far away from you. So now you are standing close to Ahlul Bayt, but you are still using the same word. My teacher was saying that one of the benefits of using that word, although you may be standing really close to Ahlul Bayt in some of those instances, is that actually you are trying to say that I may be close to you physically right now, but your maqam-e-nubuwat, your maqam-e-risalat, your maqam imamat and walayat is so high that I cannot even imagine and cannot even reach the highness of that maqam which is so far away from me. That's the reason why you use the word ya. And look at the Holy Quran. Another example from the Holy Quran, when Quran says, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. That book, Zalika, is different than Hada in Arabic. When you say Hada, it means this. When you say Zalika, it means that. Exactly the same example which we just talked about. Although the Qari, the reciter of Quran, may be holding the Quran in his hand, but he is still obliged to say Zalika al-kitabu la rayba fi. Why is that so? In lots of cases, we are holding Quran right next to our face. But we are still obliged to say, every single reciter is still obliged to say, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ, that book. Why? Because the maqam of Quran, just like the maqam of Ahlul Bayt, being both of them being parallel to each other in the hadith of Saqalain, mentioned next to each other in the hadith of Saqalain, their both of their maqam and their status and level is so high that you may be physically present to the Quran, right next to the Holy Quran, but the maqam of Quran, like the maqam of Ahlul Bayt, is so high and so far away, unreachable for an ordinary person, that we have to say ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. And so now that we have reached that point, we should realize that once we believe in these kinds of imams who have these qualities and these fada'il and these manaqib, now what is our responsibility towards these imams? Coming to the result of this conversation, once we realize the fada'il and manaqib and superiority of our Ahlul Bayt, and we consider as a reciter of whatever hadith or ayat or ziyarat, you know, that their level is unreachable for us, and it's their level is far away from us, although we may be standing right next to them, you know. So what is our obligation after that? The obligation that we have has to be understood, that when the Holy Prophet says that إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمُ الثَّقَلَيْنِ, I'm leaving behind among you two valuable things. So when we are supposed to obey these two valuable things, you know, it's not about the ma'rifat of the you know, the shakhsiyat-e haqiqi, the real personality of Ahlul Bayt. Because the reality of their personality is something which is unknown to anybody on the planet Earth. So Prophet is not talking about the real and haqiqi personality. No one can reach their highness. No one can, you know, can even comprehend their highness. This is not what Prophet is obliging us to, the Islamic Ummah, to do. If Prophet was obliging all the Islamic Ummah in Hadith al-Saqalain to get to know the real personality of Ahlul Bayt and their haqiqat is unimaginable for us. No one can understand and comprehend their highness. So what exactly is Prophet is talking about in the Hadiths? What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to understand their, you know, their shakhsiyat, which is related to imamat and nubuwat and walayat. This is what Prophet is talking about. Not their shakhsiyat-e-haqiqi. Shakhsiyat-e-haqiqi is ununderstandable for everyone. You know, even we find in the hadith of the Holy Prophet himself saying that ma arifallahu arifallaha illa ana wa anta. No one had recognized Allah, no one had the ma'rifat of Allah except me and you, Prophet said to Imam Ali alayhi salam. Wa ma arifani illallahu wa anta. And no one had the ma'rifat of mine except Allah and you. And then Prophet said, وَمَا عَرِفَكَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَا. And no one had your ma'rifat except Allah and me. So when we have this status of Imam Ali alayhi salam and this status of Ahlul Bayt, you know, then how can it be that anybody can come forward and say that I have the ma'rifat of the reality and haqiqat? You know, Kumail ibn Ziyad, who narrated the dua Kumail from Imam Ali alayhi salam, which is so great that, you know, once Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayhi was asked about which du'as that you prefer most, and he, you know, because Imam was the Ustadul Urafa, so many of his students are arif, so he had those high level of ma'rifat. So he, you know, he was the best person to respond to such a question of about the du'as of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt, which are considered to be, you know, in his own statement as Qur'an-e-Sa'id. You know, he used to call these du'as of Holy Prophet in Ahlul Bayt, this is the treasure which is only found with our sect of Islam. No one on earth has this great treasure available with them. And he used to consider these du'as to be no less in their value from that of the Holy Quran. Because your statements can be less either because if the mutakallim, the speaker, is less in his knowledge, so he's unable to speak a scholarly statement, or the audience, the mukhatab, is of a lower level of knowledge, so you would not like to talk about all the great knowledges to your mukhatab, to your audience. And none of those two is applicable in the case of dua, because the duas of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are, the speakers are the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, who have the absolute taharat of the qalb. And the audience and mukhatab is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can you consider these duas to be less in the contents than the Holy Quran? That's what he used to say. And he used to call them as Qur'an-e-Sa'id. That means the ascending Qur'an. The Qur'an that we have in our hands is Qur'an-e-Nazil. You know, the descending Qur'an. Upar se niche aane wala Qur'an. Qur'an-e ke azbala bhi paayin nazil shod. So, and he used to call the du'as of the Prophet Muhammad to be Qur'an-e-Sa'id, the ascending Qur'an. So when he was asked about Dua Kumail, he said, that Dua Kumail is so... he said that my most favorite du'as are Munajat-e-Shabaniyya and Dua Kumail. And the reason why Dua Kumail is most favorite, because Imam Ali doesn't even talk about Jannat in the entire du'a. So the whole du'a is basically Imam Ali is actually... drowned in the muhabbat and ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he is doing that dua. He doesn't even care about paradise. This is a dua of muhabbat and ishq. There is no mention of jannat. This is the perspective and zaviyatul nazar of an arif which we don't have. So the same dua, Kumail ibn Ziyad, who narrated such a great dua from Imam Ali alayhi salam, when Kumail was once walking in the outskirts of the city of Kufa, along with Imam Ali alayhi salam in the loneliness, and Kumail asked Imam Ali alayhi salam, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, mal haqiqa? What is the reality? You're talking about the reality moments ago. The same Kumail who is so high that he was the one whom Imam Ali considered to be, you know, eligible to teach him this kind of great dua, not anybody else. And the same Kumail ibn Ziyad, when asked Imam Ali alayhi salam, mal haqiqa, what's the reality? We must know the reality. Imam Ali alayhi salam replied, ma laka wal haqiqa, what have you to do with the reality? You have nothing to do with the reality. Kumail is not of the level to understand the reality. So when we are talking about the reality of the maqam of nubuwwat and imamat and walayat of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, this is not an ordinary thing. So when we have this kind of imams as our leaders and our personalities that we have to follow, and the obligation that we have towards the maqam of imamat and walayat and nubuwwat is that absolute obedience. Absolute obedience towards everything what they say. And this obedience is actually going to generate the ma'rifat, and the ma'rifat is going to generate the muhabbat of Ahlul Bayt. So if we find, you know, like my teacher was saying, Ayatullah Jawadi Hafidhahullah, then lots of our people don't deserve to say that we have the muhabbat. Because muhabbat is something that belongs to level number 3. There's obedience, ita'at. Ita'at generates the ma'rifat of Ahlul Bayt, which is equal to the ma'rifat of Allah exactly in its value. And ma'rifat generates muhabbat. So a lot of people should better say we have tamanni instead of muhabbat. Yani hamari tamanna hai ki hum ahle bait wale hon. Muhabbat ke bajaye tamanna ka lafz istemal karna zyada appropriate hai hamare ustad ke baqaul. Lots of people should better say we have, you know, this arzu and tamanna. It's not muhabbat, because muhabbat is something which is of the level number 3. When we are lacking in the ita'at and we are lacking in the ma'rifat, then How can you justify that what you have is really the muhabbat, which is classified quote unquote as muhabbat? So these fada'il of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, one of the major reasons may be why these are mentioned over and over again, so that we realize that we have to have absolute ita'at and obedience towards the imam of our time. And second of all, never ever accept or obey any of their enemies. disassociate ourselves completely from their enemies. Because like I was mentioning in the last night's speech, any kind of obedience, acceptance, you know, you have already heard that hadith over and over again from different scholars about Safwan ibn Mahran al-Jammal, who rented his camels to Harun al-Rashid. And look, you already know what Imam Qasim alayhi salam's response was, you know, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مِنْكَ حَسَنٌ جَمِيلٌ مَا خَلَى شَيْءٍ وَاحِدًا. Everything of yours is good, except one. And Safwan was a very muttaqi, very pious person, really very pious person. And he got upset, he got anxious when Imam Qasim alayhi salam said, everything of yours is good except one. He said, what's that one? And Imam said, اِكْرَاؤُكَ جِمَالَكَ مِنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ. That you have rented your camels to this guy, yani Harun, the Tahut of the time, Harun al-Rashid. And Safwan ibn Mihran al-Jamal says that, Ibn Rasulullah, well, I did not rent him for any haram purpose. He was going for Hajj. But Imam said that, don't you have that that in your mind that Harun al-Rashid, the enemy of Ahlul Bayt, the Tahut, in other words, he comes back safely, you know. Of course, it doesn't take one day or two to go for Hajj all the way from Iraq, you know, or whatever from Medina. It takes several months. So you have in your intention that he comes back safely so that he can pay you the rent of your camels. He said, of course I have it in mind. If you don't have that intention, why would you give your camels? Why would he give his camels? So he said, then Imam says, Man ahabba baqa'ahum kana minhum. Whosoever loves their baqa and survival, he is counted to be one of them. And whosoever is counted to be one of them, he will go wherever they would go. Kana waradan nar. So when we have these fada'il mentioned of Ahlul Bayt, this is not a storytelling. We are not mentioning the fada'il of Ahlul Bayt for the sake of qissa barai qissa, dastan barai dastan. No, there is a very well-defined purpose and hadaf and target and goal. It's a targeted statement why we talk about the fada'il of Imam Ali alayhi salam. You know, it's a very well-planned, well-thought-of, targeted statements. Why they themselves mention their fada'il? Do they need some praise from us? Who are we? They don't used to do anything for the sake of the people. They're doing everything for the rida and pleasure of Allah. Why are they themselves mentioning their fada'il for us? How can we understand if they themselves didn't mention their fada'il? They told us those fada'il. And why did they tell us? To get praise from us? They don't stand in need of our praise. The fada'il and manaqib, one of the biggest benefits maybe of these fada'il is that we realize the greatness of the maqam and nubuwat and imamat and walayat of these personalities. And when we realize that we have leaders like these, we have no reason to justify, to accept any tahut or any zalim in our everyday life and to obey and to follow them.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
So, Abu Hamza al-Somali, very great companion who narrated the dua Abu Hamza from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. He's also the companion of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. He came to Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam and said, أَيُّ شَيْءٍ إِذَا عَمِلْتُهُ أَنَا إِسْتَكْمَلْتُ حَقِيقَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. What is the thing that if I do, I am going to fulfill the reality of Iman? And Imam Baqir al-Islam replied, a very short statement, which is the summary of the entire lifestyle of a mu'min. This hadith of Imam Baqir al-Islam is the... is the summary of the whole policy of a mu'min in his life. This determines our policy. If you want to know what is the policy of a mu'min's life, here is the hadith where Imam Baqir al-Islam says, Tawali awliya illah wa tawali awliya Allah wa tu'adi a'da Allah wa takunu ma'as sadiqin kama amarak Allah. That means if you want to have the perfection of your iman and to reach the haqiqat and reality of your faith, then you have to consider the enemies of Allah You have to consider the awliyaullah, the beloved personalities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as your beloved personalities. And you have to consider the enemies of Allah to be your enemies. And you have to stick and obey to with the sadiqeen, that means the Ahlul Bayt, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you. So the key to our istikmal of iman, our perfection of iman, is this duty that Imam has been defining for us. That means we always consider the awliya and beloved personalities of Allah to be our beloved personalities and follow them. And we consider the enemies of Allah and the enemies of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt to be our enemies. And we stick to the obedience of the Ahlul Bayt. Also, we find Ismail al-Ju'fi came to Imam Baqir alayhi salam, and I'm coming to the end of the speech. He says to Imam Baqir alayhi salam that there is a guy that I know. That guy, he loves Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. He's a lover of Imam Ali. رَجُلٌ يُحِبُّ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَتَبَرَّ مِنْ عَدُوِّهِ. There's a guy, one of my, you know, acquaintances. He knows, he loves Imam Ali alayhi salam, but he does not disassociate himself from the enemies of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So he says, يَقُولُ هُوَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّنْ خَالَفَهُ. He says, well, Imam Ali alayhi salam is more beloved to me than his enemies. What is the status of this kind of person? Imam replied that هَذَا مُخَلَّط. This person is actually a confused person. وَهُوَ عَدُوٌ. He is also categorized as our enemy, the enemy. Yani any person who considers Imam Ali's and it does not disassociate himself from the enemies of Ahlul Bayt is also an enemy of Ahlul Bayt himself. Although he may be claiming that I love Imam Ali alayhi salam, doesn't matter. وَلَا فَلَا تُصَلِّ خَلْفَهُ. Don't pray behind him. Of course he's a facet person, he's not adil. When you don't have to pray behind him, he doesn't deserve to be considered as even your leader of your jamaat prayers. وَلَا كَرَامَةَ إِلَّا أَن تَتَّقِيهِ. And this guy has no respect and no dignity and no karamat unless if you are in the situation of taqiyya. And this is in Wasail al-Shia volume 8. And also we find that and another hadith when another guy came and asked Imam Ali alayhi salam directly that, well, inni uhibbuka wa uhibbu fulanan. I love you, but I also love, he mentioned one of the enemies of Imam Ali alayhi salam, I also love him. So Imam Ali alayhi salam said to him, amma al-an anta a'war. Right now you are blind from one eye. And fa'imma an ta'ma wa imma an tubsir. Now, before your death, what's going to happen, in other words, that before you die, you will either end up in the situation that you become blind from both the eyes, or you will gain vision and sight for both of your eyes. So basically, anybody who does not disassociate from the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, his soul is blind in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt, which is actually the haqiqat and reality of that person's soul. And on the Day of Judgment, this person will certainly be resurrected as a blind person. نَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى مَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى وَأَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. Whosoever is blind in this life, you know, he will be blind in that world also. So anybody who does not disassociate from the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, this is the condition number one. Ahlul Bayt are not here to accept our obedience and our ita'at and our following towards their walayat and imamat unless we first disassociate ourselves from their enemies. To that extent that some of the ahadith even says that kazeba. Kazeba man za'ama kam man idda'a mahabbatana. Someone who claims our mahabbat, he's a liar, Imam Ali says. كَذِبَ مَنْ اِدَّعَ مَحَبَّتَنَا وَلَمْ يَتَبَرَّ مِنْ أَدُوِّنَا. Anyone who claims that he loves us but does not disassociate from the enemies of ours, he's a liar. To that extent. And that's in Bihar al-Nuwar volume 27. So we find that, of course, tabarra does not, you know, and our communities, you know, some people in our communities have misunderstood the concept of tabarra. And, you know, doing the oral tabarra only, you know. Although it was big, it was backfiring the dignity of Ahlul Bayt, you know. That's exactly what happened, especially in India and Pakistan. And, you know, things have been said, and because of those things, we find that the enemies of Ahlul Bayt have been talking bad against Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam. So our statements have been backfiring the dignity of Ahlul Bayt. Look at the statements, as, you know, said about Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam, and Hazrat Narjis Khatun, salamullah alayha, in that audio cassette. Because I don't even want to mention the name of that evil person. So this kind of policies that were misunderstood and wrongfully adopted in our communities, the real meaning of tabarra, brothers and sisters, is that we become an obstacle in the way, in the path of the enemies and the evil enemies of Ahlul Bayt, so that they cannot perform their agenda and no longer kill our fellow mu'min brothers the way they are killing, the way they are harming, the way they are attacking our masajid, our Husainiya, our Imam Bargah, our followers, our Azadari, and attacking and insulting the Ahlul Bayt. This is the real tabarra. What is this tabarra that I come to the microphone and I say, you know, 10 abusive statements towards their great, their big personalities, whom they consider to be great, and then they come up and insult my Ahlul Bayt? How can I get a license to get my Ahlul Bayt insulted? Is this wisdom? Yes, we believe in the la'nat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has cursed 18 people or 18 categories in the Holy Quran. But yes, we have the Ziyarat Ashura taught by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, but there's a strategy. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam does not mention the names. Allahumma al-anil awwala, thumma al-thaniya, wa al-thalitha, wa al-rabi'. When he comes to Yazid, then he opens up and mentions the name. There's a strategy. There's a policy adopted by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. We messed up with the strategy. We messed up with the policy of Ahlul Bayt. And when you start doing oral tabarra, although it is backfiring Ahlul Bayt, but still there are some people who are still doing that. Not a long time ago, when these evil Taliban people, they used to recruit those evil, stupid people from the villages of Pakistan and take them for their training camps in the city of Khost in Afghanistan. And then they used to run the audio cassette of some of our zakirs. Main Ali ka kutta hun, lao Aisha kutti ko. And these stupid people, evil people, used to write with their blood, I'll go back to Karachi and I will kill 10 people. I'll go back to Lahore, I will kill 10 people. What is this kind of tabarra? Who taught this kind of tabarra? Not the Ahlul Bayt. We messed up the whole strategy and plan of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. The real tabarra is to you yourself become an obstacle in their way so that they cannot execute their agendas. We are sitting home, not practically stopping them from their wrongs, and thus sitting home and doing oral tabarra, which is backfiring Ahlul Bayt and allowing our own fellow followers of Imam Ali Islam getting killed. This is the policy that some people understood out of the concept. The whole concept was made upside down. So now the last hadith which I promised from Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, that because we are celebrating one of the very important days tonight, and Imam Baqir Islam in that hadith says that ma min eidin lil muslimina, there isn't any Eid for the Muslims, adha wala fitr, be it the Eid al-Adha or the Eid al-Fitr, illa wa huwa yujaddidu لآل محمد عليهم صلوات الله عليهم فيه حزنا. There isn't any Eid for the Muslims except that every Eid revives the sorrow for us. That means on every Eid we become sorrowful. Can you imagine how much pain some of the followers are giving towards Ahlul Bayt? Eid is a day of celebrating. And Imam Baqir Islam says on every Eid our pain and sorrow is revived. Why? Because he says, قُلْتُ وَلِمَا ذَلِكَ. The narrator asked the Imam, why is that? And he says, لَأَنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَ حَقَّهُمْ فِي يَدِ غَيْرِهِمْ. Because they find their haqq in the hands of others. The haqq of walayat of Ahlul Bayt is in the hands of others. We don't have, Ahlul Bayt do not have supporters of walayat. 11 of our imams have been killed, and the 12th one is now, has no other option except to go in the absence and ghaibat. But the communities, lots of community members still did not realize their responsibility towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt and the walayat of their deputy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, and to obey the walayat and imamat of the imam of our time and his deputy. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Parlaha parchame Islam ko sar buland farma. Parchame kufr o shirk o nifaq ko sar nigun farma. Inqilab-e-Islami ki hifazat farma. Tamam ulama-e rabbaniyin, tamam maraj-e-kiram, bilkhusus rehbar-e-inqilab ka saya hamare saron pe barqarar rakh. Tamam mujahideen-e-Islam ki taufeeq mein izafa farma. Tamam momineen ki jaan o maal o aabroo ki hifazat farma. تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما. تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما. تمام مومنین جو بیماروں نے بحق بیمار کربلا شفاء کامل و عاجل عنایت فرما. جو مومنین زندانوں میں ہیں, بالخصوص وہ مومنین جو اسرائیل کے زندانوں میں ہیں, انہیں جلد سے جلد رہا فرما. با الہ ہماری قلیل عبادتوں کو قبول فرما. ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائیں. ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما. ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاه محمد وآله الميامين, وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. السلام عليك يا رسول الله, السلام عليك يا امير المؤمنين, السلام عليك يا فاطمه الزهراء سيده نساء العالمين, السلام عليك يا خديجه الكبرى, السلام عليك ايها الحسن المجتبى, السلام عليك يا ابا عبد الله, السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله, السلام عليك يا ابن امير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوصيين, السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمه الزهراء سيده نساء العالمين, السلام عليك وعلى المستشهدين بين يديك ورحمه الله وبركاته, السلام على علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي, السلام عليك يا صاحب العصر والزمان يا قائم آل محمد, الأمان 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 من فتنة الزمان, السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن, السلام عليك يا دافع الظلم والعدوان, السلام عليك يا قامع الكفر والطغيان, السلام عليك يا خليفة الرحمن, السلام عليك يا قاطع البرهان, السلام عليك يا مظهر الإيمان, السلام عليك يا إمامنا وإمام الإنس والجان, عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك وجعلنا من انصارك واشياعك, السلام عليك يا بقية الله ورحمة الله وبركاته.